Hey, welcome to Audiodrome, episode 2. This is Riley, coming from Oakland. On the line I have Doug.
Hello.
In Pasadena, and Carlos.
What's up?
In Santa Rosa, is that right?
Yep, live and direct.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back. Episode 2, going downhill already.
Why?
This is just a prediction.
Oh, okay.
I'm impressed by the technology behind this real quick. That's worth noting before we go any further.
This is like what the internet was created for.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. This and military applications. But yeah, I think this is it. Just talking remotely, recording the general ramblings and conversations of friends.
Exactly.
Thank you for listening.
So, guys, did you realize today is the 13th anniversary? Or I guess anniversary sounds kind of too happy about this, but Phil Hartman. Phil Hartman's been dead.
Oh, yeah.
13.
Oh, wow.
13 years.
Is that true?
That's true. I had no real concept of how long it had been, to be honest, before I saw that.
That's
a long time to be dead.
It's half my life right there.
That's a good point when you put it into perspective like that. So I thought we could kind of like try to say our favorite little Phil Hartman characters. But then I realized, I don't know.
I would pick Blasto myself.
Blasto?
Oh, that's a hell of a reference. That's great.
That was good.
You game's not finished.
did that game ever come out?
No, it came out. And it just got clobbered by reviews. It's supposed to be terrible.
Oh, really?
And it looks like garbage.
It was at what was that? PlayStation 1?
PlayStation, yeah, exactly. The PSX.
Carlos, did you really play it? And you just happened to remember that Phil Hartman did the voice?
I honestly don't know how I remembered that. I think I had a PlayStation magazine that had it on the cover, and soon after that magazine went under.
PlayStation magazine, yeah.
So no, I never actually played it. It looked pretty crappy.
It did look pretty bad. He's like the big red superhero kind of guy.
Yeah.
Those games, I don't know, man.
They suck.
Yeah, pretty much. That was a bad generation, I think, for a lot of video games. I mean, obviously Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that, fun games. But you know, it was kind of like that. Everything had to be 3D, blocky, polygonal.
Polygonal, kind of, yeah. You know? Yeah, I see what you're saying, for sure. That there was a huge push for that kind of game.
Yeah, even if it didn't warrant it.
You know what's
exactly.
Surprising to me that Riley brought this up is he's such a big part of The Simpsons, a show that Riley hates.
I don't hate The Simpsons. And you know what's funny is when I thought it, I was like, oh, Phil Hartman, my favorite, you know? And then I was like, Zap Brannigan. But clearly, not Phil Hartman, but totally inspired by Phil Hartman's stuff on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Forget it. Forget Phil Hartman.
How did he die? It was pretty crazy.
His wife killed him, yeah. So
good old-fashioned murder-suicide, right?
Yeah. Man, we like to start the shows off pretty dark.
Women are crazy.
Whose fault is that, by the way? Beheadings, murder-suicides?
You know? Yeah. No reason that a beheading couldn't be a murder-suicide either. All right, moving on. This will lighten it up a little bit.
Lionel Hutz, by the way, just for the record, but who, you know.
Yeah. Lionel Hutz is great. I should say, I think the caveman lawyer on Saturday Night Live, that was always very funny.
That's excellent, yeah.
But, okay, so I was looking at CNN, and they have, you know, in amongst all the kind of somber and serious news, Grandma Bandit suspect killed in shootout, actually a man.
All right.
So a robbery suspect, nicknamed the Grandma Bandit, was finally, you know, after he had already kind of robbed a few convenience stores or whatever, they finally got a lock on him or her, and someone called 911. They chased her car, and they were in an accident. Then they got in a shootout with him, and it was a he, I guess. But the article's pretty unclear. But what is clear is that his name was Roxanne Taylor. He was a 57-year-old man named Roxanne, and that he was shot it wasn't clear whether it was the police or self-inflicted, and that he netted about $400 from the three holdups.
Nice.
Yeah,
Oh
that's the
man.
kicker, I think.
A Vegas trip right there.
What a
That's a
bummer.
trip to Vegas. Was that his entire
Yeah.
I get like his career he earned
I mean, at
$400 or
least.
just that one stint?
At least I think his career as the Grandma Bandit. You know, now maybe this guy was pulling
Oh.
other heists, you know, as like the Wet Bandits or something like that.
Heists for $400, you're going to the
Well,
heist.
I'm being very generous with the term.
I just have this image in my head of Mrs. Doubtfire running down the street with
Yeah.
a money bag.
But the thing is, like, I don't get it. Like, there's a picture of her. It must be some, I don't know if they're transgendered or just oddly female looking, but I mean, it's a grainy picture. It looks like a woman, and they're saying, you know, they all thought it was a woman. It wasn't like he was running around screaming, I'm grandma.
This
I'm Grandma
dong hanging
Bandit.
out.
That would have been proof positive, but yeah. Dead.
Well, I mean, it's not I would argue it's not difficult to for a man to dress up as a grandma and appear grandma-ish.
Yeah, no. I just
Put
don't
on a
think that's what he's
blue moon
doing.
and
Like,
gray wig
I'm looking at
and
this picture. He's wearing sunglasses, a Green Bay Packers hat, and like
stuff.
a jacket. Like, it's not the
So
clearest picture,
you're
but
saying there's like some gender issues going on here, perhaps.
yeah, I think that they were just assuming this was an old woman. It turned out to be an old man,
How did
and they
they
blasted
track
him
this
either
guy
way.
down? Did he leave a trail of like
Trail of what?
there's original?
Sorry, I think we cut out for a second there. A trail of what?
A trail of caramels.
Murder's original. Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, I think they just you know how it goes. I actually maybe I don't even know how it goes. You get these bandits with these nicknames, and I guess probably through like some sort of APBs and stuff like that, all points bulletins, is that what they, you know? Then
That's
they
correct.
start coming up with these names, and different like clerks maybe are calling them, oh, the Grandma Bandit struck again.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Someone
Struck
called. Someone dropped
again.
a dime on Grandma, and
Oh man.
they got her.
I wonder what happened to
Man.
Barry Johnson.
Yeah,
Thank you for
exactly.
laughing. Thank you
There
for
you go.
laughing.
Larry Johnson.
I think I get that.
Well, I think if there's anything to learn from this situation is that our social security system needs a serious rehaul.
Obama, step
Okay.
up.
I agree. I agree. But the guy's only 57. I don't even think he's old enough
No,
for Social Security.
not applicable, no.
So why did you say
No, I
that?
mean, if he's the actual, you know, he's more like an uncle or
Yeah.
aunt. Great Aunt Bandit. That's what they should have called her.
He should have been called the androgynous uncle bandit since
Yeah.
he clearly
Doesn't quite roll off the tongue as well.
Your parents' androgynous sibling, Bandit.
That would work.
Bandit, yeah. This was a 7-Eleven, you said?
No, I didn't say.
Oh, you didn't say. I'm assuming. There I go again.
He was
Okay.
spotted when they got him. He was spotted at a Wendy's, but I don't think he was I don't think he was robbing the Wendy's. I think he was just enjoying some
Gonna
sort of
say
square hamburger.
7-Eleven, man. He wasn't going for the Fort Knox there, was he yet?
Well, I mean, he only got $400. Clearly not picking the best places.
Yeah. He probably had fun though.
Yeah. Until he got killed.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's dead? Oh,
Yeah,
I wasn't
he's dead.
listening. I thought he just went to jail.
He's having a lot of fun in heaven.
Oh,
I thought he just went to jail. Yeah, where he was having tons of fun in jail.
man. Yeah. Club Med. You got anything happy for us, Riley?
I don't.
Real quick.
It's not super happy. But right before I started, you know, talking to you guys or whatever, linked up, I'd saw the leaked Girl with the Dragon Tattoo David Fincher trailer,
Oh,
Ooh,
cool. I'd have to
and
check that out.
I thought Carlos would be pretty into that. And I felt pretty cool because I'm like 340. I was review number 342 on it.
What does that mean?
You know, on YouTube or whatever, I was like, this, forget
Oh, I see. So it's a small number, so you feel like you're part of an exclusive club.
Yeah, I feel exclusively
Nerdy.
privileged with this. But yeah, it's pretty. It looks pretty good. At first, I was like going into it, I was like, this just looks like more of the same, or not more of the same, but like just like the Swedish version.
Right.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
then.
I hope it's not like that closely made.
It's gotta be tough though, because
Yeah.
that version was really close to the book. I know, Doug, you've read the book. Carlos, did you read the book?
I've read the book.
I have not.
I have not seen the movie.
Too big. I can't read books over 300 pages. So.
It's too big.
It is big. But yeah, I mean, the movie's good, but it's really close, and I just don't see how he's going to, unless he changes it quite a bit from the book. I don't
know. Cool. I think that'd be cool.
I think it could look good. I know, Carlos, you love David Fincher. I think he's all right. I don't know how you feel, Doug.
I like him.
Have you seen Fight Club, dude? Come on, bro.
What I have not seen is Benjamin Button.
Oh, okay. Brutal.
I don't really have much of a desire to see it.
It's terrible. I hated it.
I liked it a lot.
It's terrible.
You liked it a lot?
Yeah.
I would definitely put it in the terrible category.
That's fine. That's fine.
But Social Network's cool as hell.
Great.
So.
Yeah. Aliens 3.
Alien 3 is... bald. It's a bald movie.
Yep.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Ripley's bald.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's where she gets bald.
What else did he do, though? He did, like, Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Seven.
Seven.
Game.
Slevin. Is
the
that what
game.
It is?
Game, yeah, the game.
It's actually pronounced Sesevenin. Sesevenin. Sesevenin.
Sesevenin.
Sesevenin.
Not a
yeah,
bad
yeah.
one.
That's good.
The game.
He didn't do Slevin.
Music
he didn't
videos,
do
right?
that yeah. one.
Slevin. Oh, Lucky Number Slevin?
Lucky Number Slevin.
I don't think anyone did that.
No, that was a computer.
That was by committee.
Exactly.
That would be awesome if the cast just did that. They directed it one scene at a time. Here you go, Josh. Great. You're up. Your turn, Josh.
Very good. Very
I'll
good.
I'll check that out for sure. I was too busy looking at this. You ever Google image Cheryl Cole? You ever Google image that?
No. Cheryl Cole.
She just got off of the X Factor. It's Simon Cowell's show that's supposed to rival American Idol.
Mm.
She's probably like one of the prettiest women I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That really
she's
that
a,
she's that
attractive
pretty.
Female for sure.
I would say so. But yeah, I would say Google image her, everybody, all the guys out there, and then you'll be good for the next half hour.
And turn your webcams off.
Exactly. But no, apparently, I guess she had problems with Paula Abdul, and I don't know, whatever.
He did? Simon
she
Cowell?
Did.
Oh, she did.
Cheryl, Cheza, they call her Cheza.
What did she have to do with Paula Abdul?
I don't know, man, I'm not from England, Doug.
Neither is Paula. Oh, Cheza?
Yeah, I thought that's what you were referring to.
Is that a
I'm
English
thoroughly confused.
Thing?
It's a Geordie nickname.
Risky.
Offensive. Somehow you managed to make that
right,
offensive.
Right? Okay.
Is that offensive? I don't know. I heard a lot of English people say that. So,
is Paula Abdul involved with X Factor?
I think so. She's like going to
that's
be
what
the,
I can get.
The ace in the hole there.
This is just American Idol all over again. It's Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul.
Well, as I recall, the X Factor preceded American Idol in England.
Well, right.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just a revolving door of shows for people that couldn't make it normally. So,
well, I mean, I don't
know about that.
Say that. I wouldn't say, but is X Factor singing, though, or is it like more of a talent thing?
Man, I don't know.
You just like Cheryl Crow? Is that her name? Yeah.
Cheryl Crow.
I know you like Cheryl Crow.
Oh, Paula Cole is her name.
Cheryl Cole. I never liked Sheryl Crow when she was marrying that cheating bike rider.
Oh, yeah. What's his name again?
Lance Armstrong. He's about to let down the 10 million of people that have bought in his wristband.
How so?
His, like, one of his good friends and teammates. This is amongst, you know, a myriad of accusations that people have seen him doing human growth hormone and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just, I mean, he claims for a while that he's never had a positive test, you know, never been caught. But, I mean, it's just, if you have so many people coming out and saying you're doing something, and a lot of your colleagues and peers are doing it too, I don't know.
Yeah, no, people have been saying that for ages. Greg LeMond, I know, said that a while ago, got kicked out of off of the Trek sponsorship and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty well known that it's like a crooked sport in that way, and it has been for a while. But I don't know. It just sucks. If it turns out one day that he admits it, or if he doesn't admit it and somehow it's found true, I think that would suck. Like he does, I think he is kind of a symbol for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally know. So, I kind of growing up, I had some stuff like that. You know, in Canada, we had Ben Johnson, and he was like Mr.
Oh, he's a track runner, right?
Track runner, yeah, fastest man in the world. That summer at the Olympics, and then came out that he was doping or whatever. Is that what it's called, doping? Mm-hmm. Or is that, whatever, using steroids. And it's such a letdown, you know? It's just such a letdown to so many people that, I don't want to say looked up to that, but just, you know, admired his
Yeah, definitely.
Talent.
You appreciate somebody because, I mean, what comes with those victories, you'd imagine, is all the hard work and blah, 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 sacrifice and dedication. And I don't mean blah, blah, blah. But
no, but I know you mean all that stuff. And then it's like, nope, just a – well, not no, just a shot. But, I mean, it makes it feel like that, you know, I'm sure.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. That sucks, though. Yeah.
Yeah, sports are in a weird state right now. So, I don't know. We got to shape it up here, people. Quit cheating.
Quit cheating. Well, at least I think the professional sports are – getting cleaned up a little bit, though. I mean, the whole big baseball fiasco and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but I mean, there's A-Rod, you know, the poster boy for the sport for a while, just not, what, 2 years ago came out and said he did it.
Yeah.
His biggest years. So.
They should just have a monster league.
That's what I'm saying. They should have it legal. Just say, if you can survive and play, then you get all the accolades.
Yeah.
Monster league.
Clean that league and monster league.
You remember Ken Griffey in The Simpsons?
No. Drinking the elixir or whatever. Yeah,
his head was all huge.
Oh man, classic stuff.
Great
classic.
Show, man. Great show.
Well, let's move on from steroid use because I feel like we spent plenty of time on that last time.
I feel it's a little bit of touching back onto some stuff that I don't think we want to get back to.
Sorry about that, folks.
Pressure.
What?
Let's talk a little music.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've been. We've all been checking out Odd Future for the last little bit. Carlos, you got me into them. I don't know where you stand with that, Doug, but
same exact hookup.
Mm-hmm. How did you first hear about these guys, Carlos? Kanye?
No, I forget. I think it was some website, whatever months ago. And first to me, the name just stuck out. Odd Future, Wolfgang, Kill Them All. I thought that was kind of silly. And then I looked into it, and it just said they're like a collective of, you know, late teens kids from L.A. I don't know. They're just kind of weirdos. And I guess in the group they all kind of have range of talents, some more than others, and they all kind of do different stuff. But it was kind of spearheaded by the guy Tyler, the Creator, and he's produced quite a bit of their music, as well as rapped on it. And he just seemed like, I mean, I don't know. We're going to talk about it in a second, but he seemed like an interesting guy to kind of lead this whole movement forward of kind of, you know, F the labels, F the establishment. We're just going to do things our own way. And I don't know. It was cool to me because I haven't heard that kind of sentiment in a while that seems so true, I guess, for lack of a better word. And he just had a new album come out. That was kind of his first. I don't know if it'd be major label. I don't know if you consider XL Records a major label.
It's pretty big. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's an official release anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's I don't know. I consider it kind of a step forward from the last album. So it wasn't like he just kind of sold out, you know, like a Wale or a Nicki Minaj would, to try to please 10 different people at once.
No, I definitely don't think you could. Accuse him of that. I don't think he's trying to necessarily, you know, sell out or try to really please anybody with this album.
Right, and that's what I like about it. And I mean, kind of, you know, I think no matter where you stand on kind of his persona, you know, obviously or his lyrics, I think that's just cool to me in itself. I think he's a talented dude. But yeah, I guess kind of what I want to talk about is just more of what you guys and what I would think about kind of where the reaction to him and kind of Odd Future and kind of where things are going to go. Have you been hearing anything about like events when he's doing like record signings and stuff? There's been like mini riots and people throwing bottles and stuff.
No, I haven't heard anything like that. I know they're at Coachella. I saw some stuff. It seemed like pretty pretty, you know, I mean, it's a big crazy festival and stuff, but I didn't know that that was kind of what followed them or what surrounded them.
Yeah, apparently in Boston there was like a record signing that he was going to do when the album came out, and there was some sort of miscommunication where like you could get his autograph if you had showed up earlier in the day and like bought a ticket or some crap. And I guess a lot of the people that showed up didn't know that, and so they just kind of showed up, and the people were like, "Oh, well, you don't have your tickets from earlier, so you can't do it." And so everybody just got really pissed off. So it was like this huge group of like 200 teenagers just throwing water bottles and junk around. And so eventually, I guess Tyler just kind of went out the back door and was like, "The hell with this." So.
Yeah, but then was it, I mean, he and I don't know, some other odd future character were like running around on the roofs of
Yeah,
buildings
I
or
think
something
that's
like that.
yeah, I think that was part of the same story.
He's a young guy,
Yeah.
right? I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know,
Like
we're talking
20.
about talking 19. Yeah, 19. I think he references in Goblin. Maybe he's 20 now, but you know, he's young. And I don't know. He sounds young to me. Like, here, let's before we go any further, let's just hear a little bit of Yonkers.
Threesomes with a fucking triceratops. Reptar, rapping as I'm mocking deaf rock stars. Wearing synthetic wigs made of anwars. Dreadlocks, bedrock, harder than a motherfucking Flintstone. Making crack rocks out of pussy nigga fish bones. This nigga Jasper trying to get grown. About 5'7" of his bitches in my bedroom. Swallow the cinnamon, I'ma scribble this shin and shit while Sid is telling me that she's been getting intimate with men. Sid, shut the fuck up. Here's the number to my therapist. You tell him all your problems, he's fucking awesome with listening.
Let me, he doesn't sound young. He sounds like
the devil.
Like a swamp monster.
Yeah, well, his voice doesn't sound young, but all I can think about when I'm hearing him talk is like, this is a young kid that like thinks he's crazier than he is, or like thinks he's just like, I don't know. I liked him. I liked those mixtapes. I was into it. I thought it was cool. And now listening to Goblin, I feel like he's. I don't think he gets it. I don't think he necessarily understands that he's not scary to the people that he. Who should be listening to his music? It's like he's trying to make like music to scare my grandma, but it's like I'm the one trying to listen to the music, you know? Does that make sense? Do you guys feel like
Yeah,
that at all?
definitely. I mean, there's been a lot of comparisons to Eminem, and that's very obvious. And I guess the same issue with Eminem at that time is the same issue with Tyler. It's that, making music to scare your grandma, but the listeners are the ones that are enjoying that kind of stuff. I don't know. I think Odd Future is a bunch of talented individuals. I'm
Agreed.
very excited to see what's going to happen to them, because they're blowing up huge, big time. I'm not personally offended by lyrics that talk about raping Goldilocks and stuff like that. Like, I don't care. Like, whatever. It's, you can say whatever you want, but for me, it just comes off as a little immature,
Oh,
I guess.
absolutely. Sure, no doubt.
Yeah,
Like
and
I
so
said,
I'm.
he's super young, though, again.
Exactly. So I'm hoping they grow out of this. I mean, the dude can make beats and the dude can write lyrics for sure. Definitely. So I'm hoping, and not even get out of the whole even rapping about violence thing, because
No,
I'm a
I'm
huge.
fine with
I
that.
like Jedi mind tricks, and all they rap about is, stabbing people in the stomach and, blowing each other up and all that stuff, which is cool. I know. Stop the presses. But, a lot of it seems like shock value to me.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little gratuitous. Absolutely.
But in
So.
a way it's not comically gratuitous, which I enjoy. Like, you know, like
Right.
Cool Keith is like gratuitous to the point where you're just like, that's silly, you know? But
Yeah.
he doesn't, he just, it's like, I want him to take it either just a little farther or just rein it back a little bit and make it a little more realistic. He's in this like kind of cheesy zone where it's like, do you really expect me to take you seriously? Like, I'm really supposed to think you're the devil? Like, he calls himself the devil constantly. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No, he does. But so, like, do you think he wants you to take him seriously?
I don't think, I mean, I don't know necessarily what his actual intentions are, probably not, but the thing is, like, taken as a standalone piece of, you know, art or whatever, that voice on, you know, coming out of my speakers or whatever, sounds like it wants me to take him seriously. Whereas when I listen to Cool Keith or other, like, horrorcore stuff, it's like, it sounds like it wants you to think of it like some absurd joke or, you know, not even a humorous joke, but just like some satirical view of what maybe like gangster rap was doing before them, you know, trying to actually be hard.
That's important, man. It's important to have that image of being tough, though, if you're doing any kind of hip hop for the most part. Unless you're Drake.
Well, true. I guess that's another thing that I was interested in Odd Future initially because I thought maybe they weren't trying to like cultivate that. You know, like they were like skaters or whatever. They were like wearing, you know, neon colored hats and stuff. I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is a cool, you know, alternative image for hip hop and
counterculture.
It's all counterculture. You know, there's no real such thing as counterculture anymore because our culture is defined by so many different, you know, little subcultures. But
once the Clash hit, it was over, man.
I'm talking about the last like 10 years, you know, internet and stuff.
I'm kinda, just being a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this day and age of the internet and just the total complete oversaturation of the music scene, I mean, you need something to stand out.
Exactly. That's what I like.
So
you do. And they do stand out.
Raping Goldilocks while eating the bear's porridge gets your attention. Exactly. And so, again, I'm hoping they grow out of it, but also, you know, the spotlight is on them. And maybe they can kind of move away from that kind of stuff. But I don't even know if that's what they want to do.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
I'm sure that's not what they want to do.
I just hope whatever they want to do is interesting. It's their career to mess up right now. I mean, you know.
And I guess my biggest thing with him and especially the other guys like Earl Sweatshirt and the guy I'm going to talk about in a second, Frank Ocean, the R&B part of the collective, is just that these guys – They're good, you know. I mean, if he was doing all this kind of crazy lyrics and stuff, and he sucked, I would probably hate it. And he's not like by any means the best rapper or producer, but I think he's good, and I think he's only going to get better. So
yeah, and that's where him being young comes into play. And you say, well, hey, he's only 19 or 20 or whatever. It's like
right. He's
doing that at 20. I mean, he could be pretty awesome. I mean, he you know, his beats reminded me of on Goblin, especially. I was listening to it, and it was like, this sounds like MF Doom stuff, like Metal Fingers beats when he was do his own, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not polished, it's not perfect. I find it less interesting than what MF Doom does, but it was similar, and I like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. To me, it also reminds me a little bit of the Neptunes at different periods of their career.
Oh, wow. That's
kind of post, you know, I'm a Slave for You, all that kind of boom, boom, all that stuff.
boop, 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 boop,
that makes
boop.
Sense. I kind of passed that. I don't know. Like if Doug, one of your favorite albums, I would hope I'm not stepping out of bounds, is Hell Hath No Fury.
Oh, but man. I was just listening to that today.
I think his beats, they just remind me a little bit of those. Kind of in the kind of very sinister, fuzzy drums and synths that kind of create this mood of I don't want to say evil, that's too much, but kind of just peril, danger, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. His beats are very simple.
Right. And yet
dark in tone.
Right. And so on that note, if we're ready to move on, okay, I'll just talk quick about this guy, Frank Ocean, who's the R&B singer of the collective. I guess he's kind of older, which I'm not sure if that makes much difference. He's like 24, 25. He actually signed to, I forget what record label. But they didn't put his album out, and so he just said the hell with that. And he recently in February put out his own mixtape, and I checked it out, and it's super good. And actually, while I was driving a couple weeks ago on a 94.9, which is used to be a hip hop R&B station, now it's just, you know, whatever, top 40. They played one of his songs on there, and I was like, my mouth like dropped. I was like, are you serious? Like, that's crazy. It was actually cool to hear, and for me, one reason I like him is because I think he's kind of doing some different stuff with R&B, as kind of groups like The Weeknd, that you guys listen to a little bit, and The Dream, a guy me and Doug really enjoy. I think they're kind of pushing R&B in a different direction from where it's come, I would say, the last, you know, 6-7 years, where, I mean, on the radio now, you mostly just hear Trey Songz and Ne-Yo and Chris Brown. And I mean, I don't know, those guys are okay, but to me, they're very boring.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Frank Ocean.
Okay. Do you have this? Okay, are you
positive? Yeah, what do you want to hear?
Okay, well, you wanted to share the one that was on the radio?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's called Novocaine.
Perfect.
Started something, I got what I wanted, didn't I, can't feel nothing, superhuman, even when I'm fucking, Viagra popping, every single record, auto-tuning, zero emotion, muted emotion, pitch corrected, computed emotion, I blame it on a model bra with a Hollywood smile, ow, stripper booty in the rack like wow. Brain like Berkeley, met her at Coachella. I went to see Jigga, she went to see Z Trip. Perfect. I took a seat on.
Okay, so anyway, but yeah, I think a lot of R&B. I started listening to it when I was younger. My parents would play, you know, kind of 60s and 70s stuff, and it kind of had the very simplistic, but you know, not in a negative way. Kind of, I like this girl and, you know, I'll do anything for her kind of stuff. And it's still good to this day. You know, Al Green, Isley Brothers, I enjoy that kind of stuff. And then it kind of progressed to where I was listening to, like, what they call the Neo Soul or whatever, Maxwell and D'Angelo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm still waiting for D'Angelo's next album, but the first two are excellent.
You got fat.
Yeah. And the new Maxwell album, which I think is quite similar in vain and in tone to his previous work, it still, to me, holds up. But one thing about these kind of artists that I just mentioned, The Weeknd, Frank Ocean, and The Dream, is I think they kind of are all going their kind of, you know, weird take on it. The kind of just little slice of life descriptions and kind of specific details to me that make it kind of interesting.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about The Weeknd you know, Frank Ocean, although I don't know him as well as The Weeknd, but it's like, it's using R&B not just to sing a love song or, like, you know, it's like
not like a straightforward love song necessarily.
Well, I think The Weeknd has songs that aren't even just like, you know, love songs. They're more like a little more open, you know, the range of what they can talk about opens up, and then all of a sudden you actually have a kind of full and multifaceted musical style as opposed to just, you know, baby making music.
Exactly.
I think that's important. I think that's, I mean, I'm not saying all R&B before that has been this way. I'm not saying that at all, but I definitely think if, you know, you have a genre that's really sort of associated with one particular
story.
Yeah, story, exactly. Like type of content. That's so limiting. So yeah, well, I like that.
That's one thing that's really kind of funny about The Dream is essentially all his songs are about sex, but he does it in a way that's, you know, kind of whimsical and, I don't know, just kind of silly at the same time, but it seems like he's taking it really serious. So it's fun. He's a very fun artist. Doug? Well,
I'll have to check him out.
I agree. I like him because at times he can be whimsical and at times he's the complete opposite. He's very
perverted,
blatant and perverted, and like at the expense of not even having his lyrics rhyme or anything. Like he just
wanted to say that.
Yeah. He just wants to say something very vulgar, and I like that. You say, Riley, you said, you know, R&B, you know, is typically baby making music, but I would even say nowadays, like, R&B is not even baby making music. Like, I would just like to see the return of music to make love to a little bit.
Well, gangs, dude. I mean,
gangs.
That's baby making music.
I don't think so. I've heard a little bit of gangs. That is not baby making.
Oh,
music, right?
No, you're doing it wrong.
That might be a problem.
Oh, man.
Is this the kind of baby making that you wear a mask while you're making this baby?
Gangs, dude. I don't know.
Why am I wrong?
Yeah, you're wrong. I think you're off base.
Oh, really? Okay, I must be...
It's sensual.
I must be thinking of street gangs.
You're thinking of street gangs. That's what you're thinking of. No, gangs. GAYNGS.
I remember hearing it at your place. Okay.
It's good. Well, I mean, it's not, you know, again, I think it's another example of using that kind of R&B. Although in gangs, it's a little tongue in cheek with gangs, but I think they do a great job of using that R&B template to make some really cool kind of music that probably the content's more similar to like a lot of like indie rock and stuff like that than typical R&B, but it works well. And I know you guys don't love POS, but that's probably the best thing he's been involved with.
I've only just seen him live, and I was like, this guy needs to shut up.
I can see
this
that.
This guy needs a shower.
Yeah. But that's all good. But one of my biggest problems with a lot of the R&B today is that now, not like the Chris Brown and Trey Songz guys, they're doing like punchlines in their R&B.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
Like, or some guys like Chris Brown doing punchlines in a regular life.
Hey.
Topical jokes.
Still selling records, though, man.
I know.
More than ever. More than ever.
Everyone loves
a comeback story?
I'm not gonna say that. Yeah.
A violent individual?
I don't get it. I don't get why that doesn't just ruin people, but whatever.
I don't get it. And then he trashed the Good Morning American. Good Morning American.
Good morning, American.
I'm talking to you.
He looked through a chair out the window.
Yeah, he blew it again. And it doesn't matter. Who cares?
For those of you that can't remember, you know, what we're talking about, we're talking about Chris Brown punching. I think it's fair to say punching Rihanna.
I would say more of beating the hell, but sure, punching.
Yeah. Like,
before the Grammys, right? Like, right 11th hour, just beating her up. She couldn't go to the Grammys.
You beat the hella out of her.
Damn it.
Jeez, man.
Tasteless.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then, what was it? On the Good Morning American program, he was asked just like, you know, what has he learned from the whole experience or something? And he's like, yo, I learned a whole lot. Let's talk about this album, though.
Yeah.
Whoever it was interviewing was like, okay, we'll get there, but...
Supposedly, yeah, Robin Roberts, I guess they talked about asking those kind of questions before, and he was supposedly, like, cool with it. Like, yeah, like, you know, it's cool if you ask that. And then she actually did it, and he, like, got all pissy in the room after. Like, what the hell? It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, that's probably why he's on there. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't for his soundtrack to the viral video hit of 2 summers ago, right? The wedding. The wedding
the
dance in
song, is that what it was? Yeah.
Well, guys, I know you guys are both big video game nerds.
Doug is. I'm not.
I'm more of a video game jock. I like
that. Video game jock. Yeah, I like that.
I'm a video game jock. Really.
You just play Halo and Madden, right? Call of Duty, Halo and Madden.
Is that what it is?
Can you play Halo and Call of Duty? Is that allowed?
No, I think so.
Not really. No, I don't think so.
You gotta pick sides, Carlos.
It depends. Are you wearing a fox hat while you're playing the game?
You're wearing half of a fox hat.
Well, I'll bring this up especially because I know you guys are both currently playing LA Noire, unless you guys have finished it since the last time we talked. But
I just beat it today.
Did you?
Did you? Really?
Yeah. Dang. I guess yelling.
I'm stunned. Okay.
Well, my brother David has also been playing it, and he's actually prepared a little audio blog to talk about it. So let's hear what he has to say.
Perfect. I'd like to hear this.
A video game costs $60 new, which can sometimes feel like a lot of money for a plaything. I bought L.A. Noire on May 20th, threw down the 60 boo-boo for it at T-Mart, and despite the rumor circling that I'd only have a day to enjoy it, I've already logged 10 hours and solved a dozen mysteries. If you haven't heard of the game, I pity you. It's a magical melding of science and art, in which you play a detective in 1940s Los Angeles. Your character is Cole Phelps, a war hero and hotshot on the force.
Stand up, Phelps. Take a chair. You're in the major leagues now, sonny. Rusty Galloway,
fine lawman of the old school will be taking you under his wing. Your first case is the murder of a woman found last night and bearing all the signs of the werewolf. Get out to the scene, lads.
And so there you are, roaming around a meticulously recreated, computer-generated model of 1947 L.A. You find clues around crime scenes, inspect the bodies of murder victims, and interrogate anyone with even a morsel of info about your case. As phenomenal as the city looks and the countless old cars driving around it, the real showstopper is the facial animation. An array of 32 high-definition cameras were pointed at hundreds of actors' faces to capture their performances in 3D. The results are incredible, far more convincing and less bone-chilling than the creepy, dead-eyed CG characters from movies like Polar Express or Beowulf. You'll even recognize many of the actors from TV and movies, shows like Mad Men or Heroes. Their performances are unmarred by the complicated technology separating them from the viewer. It's been a week since the day the cuckoo clocks in Harold Camping's camp believed Judgment Day would take place, and I'm sitting in my living room playing a photorealistic computer-generated video game that cost over $100 million to produce. I only had to pay 60 boners for it. Think about this. Marshall Brain, the appropriately named founder of HowStuffWorks.com, wrote a series of essays in 2006 called Robotic Nation. Throughout the essays, he demonstrates that the processing power of computers in just 20 to 40 years will have become so astronomical that there is no way to comprehend what a computer will be capable of in the year 2050. For example, using Moore's Law, which is more of a rule of thumb that predicts that computer processing power will double every 18 months, Brain states that by 2050, the average home computer will have memory and processing power exceeding that of the human brain. The human Marshall Brain. Incredible, and possibly hard to swallow, but the numbers are all there, and the math is sound. The thesis of the essay is that soon all of our jobs will be given to robots. I have no doubt he's correct in my case, as it would only take a Roomba and a vending machine to put me out of work. Brain also wrote a book, available for free on his website, called Discard Your Body. He uses the same statistical predictions about the computing power of future machines, and he applies it to our keenness for virtual worlds and telecommunication. It won't be long, according to him and many others, before we can sync our minds with our machines, upload our memories, our intelligence, and everything else that makes us us. And when our body is gone, burnt away in an oven or buried in the cold earth, our mind will live on and on, continuing to experience the joys of being alive, minus the pains of being human. And yet it's popular to embrace the entirely unhealthy notion that the world is just a stroke away from the inevitable end. And it's not just the doomsday cultists, because I've heard ordinary folks make reference to 2012 or the end in some vaguely defeatist tone. Many people truly believe that some giant invisible grandpa is coming to take it all away. These folks must have the mental safety net of a belief in the afterlife. So who cares, right? Who cares if the ocean comes up the coast and swallows us all? Just God or Mother Earth doing what those geniuses predicted, those genius Mayans who would murder the losing team after a match of some crappy basketball precursor they didn't even bother to name? Or is it the Bible that revealed the end date, using pseudo-mathematics and lots of do-overs? Doesn't matter, because once it's over, the fun is just getting started in heaven. Well, I can't say I'm so thrilled by these predictions. Firstly, because they're straight-up bunko used by cynical people to con the weak-minded out of money and self-determination. But more importantly, because my brain has overutilized its logic and reasoning centers and denied me the pleasure of a belief in a giant post-death playground where I can chill out and smoke doobies with all my old pals and dead pets. If the end is nigh, then I'm afraid there's not much for me to look forward to. So, I'll play my video games, inhabiting convincing recreations of impossible worlds, hoping that before we nuke ourselves into oblivion or get squashed by a giant space rock, we can at least build heaven. It's within our technological reach. And if the anti-intellectual science deniers so content in their belief of a spiritual heaven just stay out of the way, a practical afterlife is more than possible. It's inevitable. How about we start a state-funded heaven race with China, first nation to build a giant server buried under a mountain to store the world's population as digitized brainwaves wins a piece of candy? How about a Necco wafer?
He got me there. He lulled me into a false sense of security with the video game talk, and it was not
about video games. Was
he punished
it?
Me.
He said a lot towards the end there. quick question though. When he was talking about having the heaven race underground and the race with China,
yeah,
did he mean China with a Y, like the wrestler China?
I think he might have. I think he might. No, you know, he's onto something there. I don't know if you guys read Necromancer. Neuromancer.
Neuromancer.
Necromancer? I actually have. It's really good.
You know, Necromancer's actually the it's a Neuromancer's a play on Necromancer, Carlos.
I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah, they talk about that. Digital constructs, dude. It's something that's you know, possible.
I think they did a movie kind of based on that. I think it was called The Matrix. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but did they ever do a good movie about it?
They did not, 1.5.
Not today. Not today. We're not doing
this. Well, speaking of sequels, though, I mean, we were just talking. Sequels are getting ridiculous. Are they not? I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about sequels.
I just feel like a movie like the Pirates of the Caribbean, the newer one, is just completely unnecessary. And even like the X-Men coming out. I can't think of two movies that have come out recently where I really don't care.
I know what you mean about I don't care, but I'm trying to think like just kind of objectively. I just think there are sequels fall into two camps. You know, a sequel, like a traditional kind of idea where you're continuing the story,
right?
Because that story should be continued, you know, like
or you're just making another one.
Or are you just making another one? Which is so annoying to me, like Hangover Part 2, where it's like, they've like blacked out and lost their friend again. Like, don't sell me the same story again. Even Weekend at Bernie's 2 switched it up a bit.
I've never seen it, so I'll take your word for it.
Oh, it definitely switched it up, dude. Then it introduced it.
Introduced the voodoo.
Voodoo, yeah, yeah.
Voodoo, right. I think I've only seen the second Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh, well, now you've made the mistake, my friend, because Weekend at Bernie's 1 is actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny.
I didn't like the second one.
Nope. Nothing to like.
But he's dancing. I mean, that's cool.
But that's the thing I can't stand. It's just like when they just want to show you the same movie. It's like a reboot. It's like there are too many reboots.
Yeah.
Just
aren't they doing another Batman one or something? Or am I just making that up?
You're making that up, I think. Well, I mean, they will probably do that, but they haven't announced it yet. I mean,
New
Dark
Batman?
Knight Rises
Bueller?
Is still.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah. I was searching for the name there.
But, you know, I mean, it's like with reboots or sequels, it's like just... I don't know. Just acknowledge that the first one exists, and just there should be a better way to kind of like. I guess it's all about money, and they can't make money on a movie that they've already put out. Basically, I mean, if you re-release a DVD or you know you re-release a you know deluxe Blu-ray or something, just people are not going to buy it en masse like they will. You know, rush out to go see The Hangover or a Total Recall reboot or a RoboCop reboot. Yeah. You know.
Well, they're kind of the sure things when it comes to making your money back, I would imagine.
I guess so. Especially the sequels to movies that only came out 2 years ago.
Right.
Like The Hangover. You know, it's like people barely, you know, people probably just picked that up on DVD.
And now they're ready to watch what happens next.
Yeah. But is it what happens next or is it just what happens again in a different setting?
Just happens again. Yeah. Same characters, different jokes, but not even.
It's like when you really those movies where you really want to see what happens next. I understand there being a sequel. Not every movie can just be self-contained.
Right.
But don't just sell me the same thing again.
I hear you. One thing that I always thought was one of my people don't give him more credit for is Terry Kaiser's performance as Bernie.
You just IMDb'd him, didn't you?
Yeah. There's no way you knew that name. There's absolutely no way.
Actually, he is good though.
I Wikipedia'd it. But no, that must have been a pretty tough role, unless he was just asleep.
No, he did a good job. By the way, just going back to a point there, we can move on, but you guys used to give me so much shit about Wikipediaing movies instead of IMDb'ing them.
I still do. I was about to call Carlos out on Wikipediaing the movie, but I didn't think it was the time or the place. Why would you go to Wikipedia?
The thing was, I was actually working on writing the rest of the article on that page, so I figured I'd check out the rest of it, too.
So we have proof that you didn't just name him Terry Kaiser.
Exactly.
Were you going to add that the Weekend at Bernie's franchise was discussed on the second episode of Audiodrome?
I already did it.
Okay.
Yeah, anyone that actually wants to add that can feel free.
Please do.
I don't know how to do it.
Jumping back to the sequel thing real quick, I mean, there's a lot of ass sequels out there, but for every 20 ass sequels, you get one Fast Five.
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary, I think, is the word to describe Fast Five.
Are you jumping on Fast Five right now?
I'm jumping on it. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh.
But now...
It's great.
That's what I hear.
It's great, dude. It's great.
It's pretty great. I saw it twice the first day.
Wait, is that true?
That's true. I saw it once. I saw it once. My brother stood me up at the ticket line, so I saw it from the second row next to two 13-year-old girls that, for some reason, had babies with them. I hope they weren't their babies. And then later that night,
did you ID them? Is that how you know they were 13?
Well, yeah, I talked to them and checked their IDs. No, I know what a 13-year-old looks like.
Do you?
I think.
Creepy.
Okay.
And then later in the night, me and my buddies couldn't figure out what to do, so we were drinking, and they wanted to go see it again, and my buddy said he'd pay for the ticket, so we went in and yelled at the screen while we're watching it.
That's perfect.
I would imagine that'd be a good way to see that film.
Yeah.
Just yelling at the screen, for sure.
Fun.
It's great. It's got Vin Diesel and The Rock.
Yeah, that's all you need to know right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about The Rock in movies. He could be good.
He's basically just The Rock.
What does that mean? Oh, is this more? No more wrestling.
Oh, sorry.
No. Not going down that road. But Riley, you've seen The Rundown, I'm sure.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking when I was. And you know, yeah, he's excellent. And Walk Tall.
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
Walking Tall.
That's a good movie.
I was gonna say Walking Hard. That's a porno, though.
Walk Hard. The Dewey Cox story. That's what I was
thinking. Dewey Cox.
Yeah.
The Rock, when he gets a movie that's worth a damn, he's good. And surprisingly enough, Fast Five is worth a damn.
I would agree.
So. I'd like to see it. Now that I hear some good things about it. At first, I just thought it was a total joke.
Sure.
Well, it kind of is a joke, but it's a good one.
But a name like Fast Five, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's hard to believe that there's five Fast and the Furious movies.
It's true.
And the later ones are so loosely connected, it's ridiculous. The third one, like in the timeline,
Tokyo Drift?
Fast and Furious, yeah, Tokyo Drift, it takes place unless
after this up, new
it
one.
It takes place after the other four movies.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Doug's a big fan. He wrote the Wikipedia page for that movie.
I actually created the entire Fast and Furious wiki. Check that out. No, because
Wiki and Wiki. That's all.
Yeah. No, and spoiler alerts for anyone.
Well, and me.
Yeah, but you don't care. The main.
We know you don't care about spoiler alerts, Riley. We don't care about
spoiler alerts. He's not the main character. He's like the mentor to the main character from Tokyo Drift. He dies in the third movie.
Is this Han or whatever?
Yes, exactly. And he's in the fourth and fifth one. And I'm willing to bet. And if memory serves correct, there's no reference to where Tokyo Drift takes place in any sort of timeline. It just takes place in the present.
And then in the
fourth and fifth one, they make references. They look at Han and go, "So, like, when are you gonna go to Tokyo?" And he's like, "Oh, I'll get there." So it's implied that that movie takes place after.
Interesting.
The third one takes place after the fourth and the fifth, because I think they killed Han and then realized, damn it, we shouldn't have killed him because people like that character. Let's just have the sequels take place before this movie and problem solved.
Yeah, interesting.
Which is bizarre. Yeah, very strange.
It's like Lost.
It is, kind of.
Like Lost.
It's like the Terminator or something. Well, guys, I think we've done it.
We've done it.
I think we've
round two.
We've used up another hour, and I think we should be proud of ourselves.
I'm proud of you guys.
Well, thank you. I like this theme of us just congratulating each other at the end on mic.
Job well done.
I want to thank you guys for everything you've done.
Well, thank you. Until next time, and I think it's clear now that there will be a next time. I'm Riley Edwards. With Doug Butler and Carlos Pascal. What's that?
Yeah, we did it.
All right, guys. Bye.
Adios.
been thinking about the way you hold me lately.
This can be edited out. It doesn't matter.